The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on February 11, 1988 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 9, Text 246 through 261.
Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya
Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Kakaroti vachalang pangulang ayate giring at kipatamang vande sri gurung ninatarinang paramananda madhavam yat kipatamang vande sri chaitanya swanam narayanam namaskritya narang chayam narotamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamadiyate nartaka gopala deke parama mohane Madhacharje sapna diyaila charastane.
While at the Udupi monastery, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw dancing Gopal, a most beautiful deity. This deity appeared to Madhva Acharya in a dream.
Gopi chandan tole achilo dingate, Madhacharjo se Krishna paila kono mate.
Madhva Acharya had somehow or other acquired the deity of Krishna from a heap of Gopi Chandan that had been transported in a boat.
Madhva Acharya ani tare korila stapan.
So, basically, Madhva Acharya was meditating. He was by the side of the ocean and somehow something he did created a light. I forget. Whether he did an arti or his own effulgence or something he did created a light. And that saved, you see, there was a big storm going on in the ocean. And there was a ship there from Dwaraka carrying some goods. And they couldn't tell where the shore was, where the sea was. They were ready. So when they saw the light, then could direct them where the shore was so they could come and escape the storm. So somehow they saved themselves. Then they came and they later after the storm and they were very grateful to Madhva Acharya. They found he was the person where the light was. So they offered that, can we give you something? So in a dream, Madhva Acharya had seen that the deity of Krishna and Balaram were inside this boat in the Gopi Chandan. Because the boat was in Dwarka, there's a place near Dwarka where all the Gopi Chandan is. And somehow he used that Gopi Chandan as ballast in his boat. In the bottom of the boat, they put some heavy weight, so that way the boat stays upright in the water. Even the wind blows the mast, the heavy weight keeps it upright, more or less. So Madhva Acharya said, I'd like some of the Gopi Chandan in your boat. But that was just like, you know, just some dirt they put in there. They didn't think, you know, we can take something more valuable, your gold. So no, I just want them. So he took out these two big chunks of Gopi Chandan. Even they couldn't lift him, how they could get them out. So somehow he got them out and he broke them open and inside there was a Krishna and Balaram deity. So the Balaram deity they established right there at the bank of the ocean. And Krishna deity he brought into Udupi. And there he established the deity there. Actually, there's a quite a nice movie of Madhva Acharya. It's not, you know, so nice, but it's, you know, alright. That's was shown on television or something in India. Madras Temple, they have a copy. It has in Kannada language with English subtitles. Maybe 80-90% all right, something, more or less. But it's kind of interesting. So, then after that, Lord Chaitanya explains what happened.
Madhva Acharya ani tare kodila stapan
adhyabhudi seva kore tatto vadigan. Madhvacharya brought this dancing Gopal deity to Udupi and installed him in the temple. To date, the followers of Madhvacharya, known as Tattvavadis, worship this deity. Krishnamurti deki prabhu moha sukha pailo premaveshe bahu kana nitya gita kailo. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu received great pleasure in seeing this beautiful form of Gopala. For a long time he danced and chanted in ecstatic love. Tattvavadi gana prabhu ke mayavadi gane pratam darshane prabhu ke na kailo sambhashane. At first sight, the Tattvavadi Vaishnavas considered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a Mayavadi sannyasi. Therefore, they did not talk to him. Pache premavesho dekhi hoilo chamotkar, Vaishnava gane bahut korilo satkar. Later, after seeing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in ecstatic love, they were struck with wonder. They, considering him a Vaishnava, they gave him a nice reception. Vaishnavata sabar antare garbhochani, Ishadhashya kichu kohi gauramani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand that the Tattvavadis were very proud of their Vaishnavism. He therefore smiled and began to speak to them. Tasavarantare garbo jani gaura chandra tasavasamye goshti korila arambho. Considering them very proud, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his discussion. Tattvavadi acharya sab shastrite praveen tare prasna kailo prabhu hoya janodin. The chief acharya of the Tattvavada community was very learned in the revealed scriptures. Out of humility, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned him. Sadhu sadhana mina jani balamate sadhu sadhana shrestha janaha amate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not know very well the aim of life or how to achieve it. Please tell me of the best ideal for humanity and how to attain it.
Acharya kohi varnasram dharma krishne samarpan evai krishna bhakte shrestha sadhan.
The acharya replied, when the activities of the four castes and the four ashramas are dedicated to Krishna, they constitute the best means whereby one can attain the highest goal of life.
Panchavida mukti paya vaikunte gaman sadhu shrestha hoye shastra nirupam.
When one dedicates the duties of varnashram dharma to Krishna, he is eligible for five kinds of liberation. Thus he is transferred to the spiritual world in Vaikuntha. This is the highest goal of life and the verdict of all revealed scriptures.
Prabhu kohe shastre kohe sravana kirtan Krishna prema seva phalera parama sadhan.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, according to the verdict of the Shastras, the process of hearing and chanting is the best means to attain loving service to Krishna. Purport. According to the Tattvavadis, the best process to execute the duties of the four varnas and ashramas. In the material world, unless one is situated in one of the varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra, one cannot manage social affairs properly to attain the ultimate goal. One also has to follow the principle of the ashramas, Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa, which are considered essential for the attainment of the highest goal. In this way, the Tattvavadis established that the execution of the principle of Varna and Ashrama for the sake of Krishna is the best way to attain the topmost goal. The Tattvavadis thus established their principles in terms of human society. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, deferred when he said that the best process is hearing and chanting about Lord Vishnu. According to the Tattvavadis, the highest goal is returning home back to Godhead. But in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, the highest goal is attaining love of Godhead, either in the material or spiritual world. In the material world, this is practiced according to Shastric injunction. In the spiritual world, the real achievement is already there. So, in Udupi, still the Tattvavadi Vaishnavas are very prominent. And they consider that the Varnashram is the most important thing. But they also think that one should surrender to Krishna. They do worship Krishna. They have 8 acharyas, or sannyasis, and these were established by, either, I think, one of Madhvacharya's followers. And on rotation, they do the puja. Originally, I think, the system was every 2 months they would change. So that means once every 16 months, they would have the puja rite. But then there was change later to once every 2 years. So that means after 16 years, they get another chance. So for 14 years, they travel and collect and save up. And 2 years, they're in charge of the big temple. All puja, all prasad distribution. They distribute about 1,000 people prasad every day. Schools, there, everything. When they have the change of the guard, change of the acharya, or for the main, there's one Krishna temple, and there's 8 other matas. Each sannyasi has his own temple, and his own disciples, and his own following. So then as it switches, then they take the charge of that temple, and they do the puja. The main temple, the Krishna temple that Madhvacharya established. So when they have the change, it's called a pariyar change. They sometimes request ISKCON's sannyasis to be present as followers of Madhva, and we participate in the function. They have a very big Rath Yatra procession of the Krishna deity. They preach that according to your birth, according to certain things, you're part of Varnashram, you have to follow that. They don't initiate anyone but their sannyasis. Grihasthas, they don't give initiation normally, very rarely. So that whoever the person that next might become the acharya, they are 1 or 2 sannyasis from the age of 9 years old, they give them sannyas after seeing their astrological chart and everything. Then they take sannyas. Still some of them fall down. About a couple of years ago, 2 left their sannyas ashram. Recently, one of the very progressive, one of those Tattvavadi Vaishnava sannyasis, he was very impressed by the ISKCON program of chanting, and he was glorifying that what they're doing, chanting, this is actually a very practical method. He said, actually, Madhvacharya used to always sing and chant, but we don't do now so much. And actually, we're seeing that by chanting Hare Krishna, it's getting a good response. And this way, mainly due to that one, Visheshwara Tirtha Swami, Tejavar Math, this kind of promotion of ISKCON praising, the people have begun to appreciate us a little bit there. And we had Krishna and Balaram deities made in a similar form as the deities that Madhvacharya found. The history of those deities that he found, actually why they came from Dwarka, I forgot to say, was that they were the personal deities of Rukmini. And after Krishna left and all the queen, everyone, they all left with him. So somehow those deities ended up in the Gopi Chandan pile and were hidden. And then they were revealed like this and the Madhvacharya established them in Udupi. So we had the Krishna and Balaram replica made and installed at Udupi as the direct Utsav Murti or direct expansion or whatever, I guess you call it expansion, of the original Krishna Balaram deities. And those who were installed by them and myself and some of our Brahmins simultaneously, then we also did a Vrindavan installation when we brought them to Bangalore. So those deities in Bangalore taken out on a Rath Yatra like in Udupi with Udupi Rath. Udupi Rath is like a very big balloon. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It was in a picture of one of the Bhakti Gardens of last year, I think. So we have made one of those. This kind of style goes up and down for the city and pull. Actually, what they present here, they promote this Varnashram very much. And they're not, although they preach, one of them or 2 of them preach, most of them stay there and do puja. For 2 years, all they do is daily do the puja for the day. They can't leave. When they're there for their 2-year turn, they're continually doing their puja. Bathing the deities, dressing the deities. They change the dress of the deities several times in the day. Then in the evening, they do special chamar seva where they take 2 big fans for about an hour. They fan the deities like that, at least half an hour. And then in the evening, they have thousands of lights going around the temple. Little ghee wicks went around, and then they light each of those wicks on the not every day, at least on the festival days. Very beautiful. This is a temple that's thousands of years old. And the Madhvacharya was about 800 or 1,000 years ago. The deity is over 5,000. But they didn't, even we can find that up to that time, even just like recently, now they're starting to appreciate chanting Hare Krishna. At that time, they would chant, but they're mainly still putting a lot of stress on deity worship, on Varnashram practice, very strict, they're very strict sannyas, and try to be strict, try to be strict brahmanas, and so on. There's a bit closed kind of a group because of this. So Lord Chaitanya was differing with them that, just as he told when Ramananda Rai presented, yes, we should practice Varnashram, we should surrender to Krishna, he said, yes. And he said, well, it's external. That's what he said, yes. He said, well, it's external. Bhajya. That's there, but it's external. It's not the real essence. Give me higher. So Lord Chaitanya is promoting this, that the best means is to hear and chant the annoying names of Krishna. And now we'll see what they say. Lord Chaitanya is quoting some verses. Sravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam padasevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakyam matmani vedanam iti pungsarpita Vishnu bhaktis chenava lakshana kriyeta bhagavatyadha tanamanye dittamuttama. This process entails hearing, chanting, and remembering the holy name, form, pastimes, qualities, and entourage of the Lord, offering service according to the time, place, and performer, worshipping the deity, offering prayers, always considering oneself the eternal servant of Krishna, making friends with him, and dedicating everything unto him. These 9 items of devotional service, when directly offered to Krishna, constitute the highest attainment of life. This is the verdict of revealed scriptures. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, verses 23 to 24. Savana kirtana hoite krishne hoya prema se pancha purusharto purusharte sima. When one comes to the platform of loving service to Lord Krishna by executing these 9 processes, he has attained the 5th platform of success and the limit of life's goals. Purport. Everyone is after success in religion, economic development, sense gratification, and ultimately merging into the existence of Brahman. These are the general practices of the common man. But according to strict principles of the Vedas, the highest attainment is to rise to the platform of Sravanam Kirtanam, chanting and hearing about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam 112. Dharma prochita kaita vatra paramo niyamatsaranam satam Vedyang vastavamatra vastu sivadam tapatrayonamulanam simad bhagavate mahamunikrite kingva parayari swaraha sadhyo hridyavarudyatetra kritibhi sushrushubhis tatkshanat. Translation. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are pure in heart. The highest truth is reality distinguished from illusion for the welfare of all. Such truth uproots the 3-fold miseries. This beautiful Bhagavatam, compiled by the great sage Sri Vyasadeva, is sufficient in itself for God realization. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears the message of Bhagavatam, he becomes attached to the Supreme Lord. According to Sridhar Swami, the material conception of success, moksha, liberation, is desired by those in material existence. Not being situated in material existence, the devotees have no desire for liberation. A devotee is always liberated in all stages of life because he is always engaged in the 9 types of devotional service. Sravanam, kirtanam, etc. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy holds that devotional service to Krishna always exists in everyone's heart. It simply has to be awakened by the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Shravanadi Sudha Chitte Koraye Udoy, CC Madhya 22107. When a person is actually engaged in devotional service, his eternal relationship with the Lord, the servant-master relationship, is awakened. So, some interesting points that when we're in material life, we're imprisoned by the material laws, we want to get free from them. So the desire for liberation is very prominent. However, when one is already on the transcendental platform of pure devotional service, then he's already relishing transcendental reciprocation with Krishna, the glories, the qualities, the pastimes, the form, the name, entourage of the Lord, offering service, according to time, place, and circumstance, etc. So, the devotee is already self-satisfied, Atmarama, in devotional service. So the desire of merging or being free from material life or even taking some kind of place in Vaikuntha is not desired by the devotees. In fact, it says that in the Shastras, the previous Acharyas advise us, we should even be careful of becoming very attached to the Lord of Vaikuntha. Sometimes devotees worship some Narayana form, but at the time of death, if they meditate on the Narayana form, that may cause them to take their place in Vaikuntha. because that's where Narayana exists. Narayana in the form of Narasimha or some other. The devotees worship Krishna in his original form. And their attachment is for Krishna, whether in the material world or in the spiritual, wherever, they want to serve Krishna. So the devotional service is actually above the three modes of material nature. And even while in the material world, someone situated in pure devotional service is already liberated. So in the beginning, for preaching purpose, the negative aspects of the material world are promoted. And the basic desire to be free from the cycle of birth and death, to go to the spiritual world, this is used as an impetus. But actually, as one advances in Krishna consciousness, then, as Lord Chaitanya prayed, Janmane Janmanishare Bhavatad Bhakti Haituki Twai, but even birth after birth, I want to serve you in pure devotional service. This is all that I want. In other words, he's not even asking for liberation, but that I can actually have pure devotional service. So pure devotional service we can have right now, here. We don't have to delay. We simply have to practice the process as given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, handed down from the previous acharyas. We can taste nectar now. You don't have to take the rain check. Even wait till the time you leave your body. Of course, while we're in the material body, we have to follow rules of the Shastra. Because otherwise, we can get entangled again. So although the devotee doesn't desire going to Vaikuntha, desires just to serve the Lord, it doesn't mean that the Lord will not take that devotee back to him to the Golok Vrindavan. If their service is there, he'll take the devotee there, or maybe take the devotee to another universe where Krishna's pastimes are going on to participate in those pastimes. Krishna doesn't abandon his devotee in any case. But the devotee immediately just simply wants to engage in pure devotional service. When our attraction to Krishna increases to that point that is predominates everything, then practically speaking, we're not at all connected with the material world. Because we are partially attracted to Krishna, partially Krishna conscious, partially we are in Maya consciousness. Therefore, we're attracted to Maya. And then because of our attraction to Maya, we're forced to suffer. So attraction, Maya means suffering. So duality, we think we're going to enjoy. The more we try to enjoy in the material world, then the more we get kicked. If we can do everything in moderation, everything according to devotional service principles, then practically speaking, there is minimum suffering in material life. As soon as we try to actually just out and out enjoy material world, that means we have to suffer more. For some time we may cash in some of our pious results, and then afterwards we take the reaction the other side. In any case, one is bound up by the hankering, fear and lamentation syndrome, where one is feeling frustrated because he doesn't have the thing they desire. Then when they have it, then they're feeling afraid that maybe I'll lose it, something will happen. Then when something is happening or some problem is there or they lose it, then they're feeling the lamentation. So many popular movies are always being advertised about divorce cases and things like that. And they're always showing how people are, they're in this syndrome. They're desiring to have some connection. Then they're afraid of other people somehow, this, that, something coming in the way. Then they get divorced or something when there's some problem and then they're lamenting. And then it goes like this, one cycle after the next. They try for a while to stay aloof from everything, but they get drawn back into the material whirlpool. So by material negation, it's like trying to, you see, jump off the earth. You can't stay floating forever, again you come down. But by positive attraction to Krishna, that pulls you out of the material atmosphere. So for someone suffering, they want immediately the suffering to end. They want liberation. But if someone may be suffering in the material world, they realize that if I'm out of the material world, my suffering ends. There's two ways of going out. One is, of course, through liberation. The other is directly by devotional service. If we remain completely absorbed in devotional service, we're also out of the material world, even though we may be walking on planet Earth. We are technically not in the material world because we have no connection with the laws of the material world if we are fully practicing devotional service. Doing everything for the satisfaction of Guru and Krishna, practicing the ninefold practice of devotional service. And when we develop our pure love for Krishna, that time our liberated status is already achieved. Already then we are completely reunited in our eternal relationship with Krishna. So the fact that we have this capacity within us was stressed by Lord Chaitanya. You don't have to do outside things. Immediately practice devotional service, especially hearing and chanting. And this way, when your pure consciousness again comes and you develop and you have this natural desire to serve Krishna is developed, you see, that is the perfection. That is the beginning of Krishna Prema.
Evaṁ vrataha svapriyanam kartya kirtya jata nurago druta citta uchai hasatya thoroditi roti gayati unamadhavam nityati loka bhaja.
When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is agitated and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants just like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Purport, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 2, Verse 14.
Karma ninda karma tyago sarva saste kohe karma hoite prema bhakti krishne kavu nohe.
In every revealed scripture, there is condemnation of fruitive activity. It is advised everywhere to give up engagement in fruitive activity, for by it no one can attain the highest goal of life, love of Godhead.
So Madhvacharya, he established the form of the Lord is true. The impersonalists, they think that the form of Krishna is also part of the material world. That all form is false. But Madhvacharya established, no, that form is true. Vehemently preached against the impersonalist philosophers. He was a very big preacher. He would go out on tours, and he was so effective in eradicating, and especially his part of the country, the influence of impersonal philosophy, that the Mayavadis, they wanted to kill him, and they couldn't kill him. So then they decided to steal all of his books. He'd written so many commentaries. Some commentary he wrote after personally meeting Vyasadeva, taking initiation. They stole his books, but he got them back. And in getting them back, he got connection with the king of the area. He used the police to get them back. And so he approached the king and said, my books were stolen. And I think it was stolen by the Shankaracharya sannyasis. So they arrested the Shankaracharya acharya sannyasis, and they found out from them where the books were. So he got the books back. So in that way, the Rajguru of the king and Madhvacharya had a debate. And in the debate, he accepted the defeat from Madhvacharya and accepted the Vaishnava principle. So that way, and that clinched it, and the whole kingdom became Vaishnava. So the whole state of Karnataka, even to this day, basically follows the Vaishnava. And one of the famous followers of Madhvacharya is known as Purandara. He glorified the holy name. He said, if I have the holy name of Krishna, then what, I don't need anything else. Krishna and his holy name are not different, so if I have the holy name, then I don't care for anything else. That's all I need. I don't need any other process of religion or any, you see, material formulas, any fruitive activities. I don't need any of those things. Simply by the holy name, that's enough. So there were preachers who were preaching the glories of the holy name. I don't know if they came after Lord Chaitanya or before exactly Purandara, different, or to what extent these concepts of Varnashram and that are mixed with it. They had appreciation for the name, some of the followers. Just like one Madhva, junior sannyasi. He's a junior sannyasi, the Pajivar Swami. Came here to America. Our Bhakta Scott encountered him in Tennessee. But when he went back, they said that since according to some Varnashram rules, if you cross over the ocean, you're out of the Varnashram. Some smarta concept is like that. So even though they told him, yeah, you can go and preach in America, but when he came back, they refused to allow him to go into the deity room anymore. They said, now you're impure. He got so disgusted with that. First you give me permission to go, I go, then I come back. There's 8 different sannyasis are there. So the other sannyasi who was in charge of the puja for that 2 years, he was one of the more real narrow vision ones relative to this, you know, the whole idea. Some are more into Varnashram. So he was one like strict Varnashram. And so he rejected him. He said, no, can't do puja anymore. You're contaminated. He went overseas, land of the Mlechas and the Yavanas. So he renounced his position as a junior acharya, like the heir apparent of the seat of Madhva there at that particular temple. Basically, there are different, you know, each, whoever was in charge of the temple at that time, maybe they all seemed to be pretty similar. Although I knew that Purandara was someone who glorified the holy name and sang many songs glorifying the holy name. So within the line, just as Madhavendra Puri came in their line, but he was completely worshipping Radha and Krishna. Madhvacharya believed in a kind of spiritual research, that in the path of spiritual realization, he said there's scope for more realization, more understanding of Krishna. So in that, his sampradaya, there were some who were like this much into the varnashram, and then apparently some were more into, and then some developed to the Radha Krishna worship of Krishna's name. Yet they all claim to be within the Madhva family. They're all accepted. The particular sannyasis that Lord Chaitanya met with, they're the tattvavadi, strict, get liberation. These are most prominent in Udupi. They say, like, they'll say, Krishna Paramatma, Namo, or something like that. Obeisances to Krishna the Paramatma. It's not clear understanding of Krishna's position as even above the Paramatma, as the original. I'm a bit myself not clear to what extent is that the teaching of Madhva, or subsequently that's because they've just interpreted that way. I'm not clear myself whether this is something that developed after Madhva, or that Madhva just gave the basic. That time he was mainly stressing against the Mayavadis, against the Buddhists who were very prominent in South India. He was preaching Vaishnavism, the form of Krishna's truth. And he maybe didn't go into that. I don't know. I don't know the whole etymology of it, whether he went into the details at that time, or this is something that they've developed. But whatever is presented here, that they're definitely still there. They believe that Varnashram strongly. It's very hard for them to figure us out, although they are accepting us and they allow us to go and to worship Krishna deity, not in the deity room but outside. They have many different practices. They brand themselves with the symbols of Vishnu, make their body more pure, whatever, dedicated as a temple. So in addition to putting tilak once a year, so they heat symbols of Vishnu, kaj, chakra, gada, padma, lotus, and then it puts a little mark there. It stays for about a year. And they say, like, the pain, like, during the pain of that, to put on the symbol of Vishnu, there's some philosophical reason why they do that. I think in America, if you start doing that, they'll probably find it a bit difficult. You know? Might get sued by someone. Because the person does it to himself. So, but anyway, we don't have those practices. Although I think Gaurakesha, he did it to himself. He has those. But they're very much into Vishnu, into Krishna. You'll find that in each of the Vaishnava philosophies, there's a truth presented, there's Bhagavan presented, but something is less or lacking in terms of an overall picture that what Lord Chaitanya presents. That's why amongst the Vaishnavas, their discussion, who has the clearer concept of the personality of Godhead. So when they argue amongst themselves and each has presented a treatise known as an explanation or a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So when the followers of Lord Chaitanya try to establish, we also have our unique concept, which is the most complete of all the kinds of personality of Godhead. What is the relationship between the individual soul and the supreme soul, material world, everything? They said, well, you don't have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, therefore how can we accept that your philosophy is actually a real philosophy? Not just, you know, a few people think like that, but I mean, if it's a real philosophy, a real treatise, a real basis on which to understand the Absolute Truth, then you have to have a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So, Baladeva Dibhusan, he said, no, we have one. I said, I'm just going in the temple to get it, you can wait outside. And he closed the door, went in the temple, paid his obeisances, and prayed to Govindaji, that for the defending the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we require a commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. And he just prayed so fervently, that then Govinda, he dictated the commentary, he wrote it down. Entire commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That's why it's known as the Govinda Bhasha, spoken by the Govinda Ji. Then he went out and presented the commentary here. See, normally it takes a long time to write a commentary, and I mean, it's like a very heavy matter, the Vedanta Sutra. So when they got that commentary, then that established Lord Chaitanya's Achinta Veda Veda Tattva as a specific and unique understanding of the Absolute Truth. So it goes on here, another couple of pages, discussion with the Tattvavadis. Like at this time, if there are any questions. Yes. It's not that they didn't accept the Srimad Bhagavatam. The point was, at that time, Madhvacharya, the whole India was basically Shankaracharya. There were a few pockets of Ramanuja, I believe. Ramanuja came previously. But still, Ramanuja wasn't able to win over all the Shankaracharya followers. So, Buddhism had taken over the entire India 2,500 years ago. And Many of the Buddhists were converted to the impersonal philosophy of Shankaracharya, but there are still quite a few Buddhists in India at that time. Not everyone just switched over. It took some time. So the Shankaracharya followers, they would read the Siriyavasya, the commentary of Shankaracharya. And this was their main text. In fact, even Madhvacharya was initially initiated into the Shankaracharya line, took sannyas in that line. And then he took initiation when he got initiation from Vyasadeva. Everyone was Shankara, practically speaking. But he, although in the Shankara line, overtly, he was a Vaishnava. He always believed in Krishna. He doubted the commentaries of the Shankaracharya followers. He proved them wrong. He said, this is illogical. It doesn't make any sense. It's not right in the Vedas. Then he started writing his own commentaries. Because anyway, the impersonal philosophy is mental speculation. So at that time, you're allowed. So he did scriptural speculation. He did authorized Vaishnava commentary. He was like one of the pioneers at that time in re-establishing Vaishnavism. So he was mainly what had to write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra to defeat the commentary of the impersonalists. So the impersonalists don't accept Srimad Bhagavatam as the commentary of Vedanta Sutra. So him accepting Srimad Bhagavatam is needed, it wouldn't achieve the purpose. He needs to win over the impersonalists to become Vaishnavas. To do that, he has to meet them on their ground. It's like you can talk to a Christian from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, but you know, they have to be very open-minded to accept that. Or if you can speak from the Bible, then you know, they're obliged to listen to whatever you're saying, because that's their own scripture. Like this Lord Chaitanya, when he preached with Mohammedans, sometimes he would quote the Quran, and he would prove from their own scripture how what their scripture already saying, what are spoken in the Vedas, and so they bridge the gap. Then after that, he would show how the Vedas are explaining. He had a sikha as a grihasta. He had also had a full head of hair.
But when he took sannyas, he didn't have a sikha?
I don't think so.
Because they couldn't recognize him.
Because he took sannyas from at that time, even Lord Chaitanya's time, they're all Mayavadi was the main thing in North India. It was all Mayavadi. South India, there were the Madhva and the Ramanuja, but they had never even penetrated North India. Western India, there was the Vishnu Swami Sagnambar. Even now, India is mainly Mayavadi. It's mainly impersonal. Most of the yogis are all impersonal. Just now, I mean, now it's increasing more and more Vaishnava. But you say, even for one Vaishnava, there's at least 10 Mayavadis, if not 100. When we did our Rath Yatra in Madras, there was at least 12 Mayavadis giving different kind of Mayavadi classes in different parts of the city. So there's a lot of preaching to do in India. People walk up to an Indian and they start just quoting Sanskrit verses and they ask, can you explain this? Whatever you read here in Bhagavad Gita or in Srimad Bhagavad Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, may appear very theoretical here in America. But it's all there. All the different philosophies, sahajya, it's there. Find all the Mayavadis, people that claim to be avatars and so on and so forth. So you can find it all there. It isn't going anywhere. You know, here where people ask you why you wear toothpaste on your nose. In India, you have to actually defend your philosophy. Generally speaking, the Sakhi Bekis, those persons that are worshipping Radha and Krishna in the mood of a gopi and they put on a sari, don't go outside the dam. They stay in Vrindavan or Mayapur, Vrindavan, thank God they're not Mayapur. But probably what you saw were eunuchs. There's a group of nomad eunuchs in India, and they dress up like women. And sometimes they kidnap young men and they make them eunuchs also. Because kids are scared of them like anything. They don't try to look. I mean, it's pretty obvious they're not women. They're not trying to be like transvestite. I mean, like really look like women. You can tell they're not women. They're not on the drag or something, whatever you call it. There's a thing that when a new child is born, if a eunuch curses the child, then it's real bad. So whenever they hear that someone had a new baby, they all go to the house, and then they say, my God, eunuchs, you know, so give them some money, get them out of here. So it's like a kind of a protection. You gotta pay to get them out, you know. Do some blessing. I don't know if they can do anything to help, but they can do something to harm. So there's like
And they go to weddings and things like any auspicious ceremony, they'll be hanging around, you know, so just to get rid of them, they pay them some money. You know. That's how they see it. I guess they can give blessings too, I don't know. They have some mystic power of the eunuchs, they get some shakti that they can curse or bless or something on some karma kanda level. So that's why sometimes devotees are welcome to test out their slokas, especially come in South India, get some class in the schools. People ask good questions. I was in a post office, a man came up to me and just started asking, quoting a verse from the Gita and asking a question on it. In the post office. Any other questions?
I was wondering if maybe you could explain.
What's your name?
About the kind of preaching. Well, you talked a little bit about Nampak that's going on, but generally, what is the main kind of preaching in terms of book distribution like that in India?
The book distribution is performed through push carts, book tables, and big buses, which have many times have temples in them. And they stop the temple bus somewhere and play kirtan. And they send out a few devotees to go shop to shop with book bags. And then the people come up to take darshan of the deities in the bus and then they sell them books. That's the book. Then we have festivals. We put on festivals in parks, in the cities, or traveling. And then they have a stage and they do pandal program. They give lectures and put on dramas and show movies. And then thousands of people come to participate in the festival and they have book tables that sell the books. So the book margin is very less in India because there are many groups that publish books at a subsidized rate, as well as Christians give out free books. So therefore, cannot keep too high a margin on the books and people are poor. So basically the book distribution maintains the vehicles that drive them around and the devotees that do the program. And sometimes it gives a small percentage to the temple maintenance. Because their markup on the books is only about 25% over cost. Even the BBT only takes 25%. But like in America, the markup is about 100%. Here it's possible for the temple to maintain by book distribution, but in India it's a bit difficult. At the present time, unless there's some way of bringing the book cost down enough or taking more price. So generally what happens is during the book distribution, they also sell pictures of Krishna, pendants, tapes, devotional paraphernalia, and incense. And the profit margin of that is more. So that's what is the profit. So sometimes the people want to bhajan tape so much that they are cutting into the book distribution. So now what they do is they give a free book with the tape. They jack the price of the tape up 5 rupees. In addition to that, there's some youth programs. College students are having some organization, Bhaktivedanta Youth Organization, Youth Club, BYO, BYC. Then there's a light membership, which they distribute whole sets of books in a light membership. That's still the main income. But since it's a very big liability to maintain the members in the long run, they're trying to phase that out as a source of maintenance income and use it as a only source of development income and BBT income. And people give donations in cash and kind. And there's Rath Yatras and things. In some parts of India, Rath Yatra is traditionally on the same day as Jagannath Puri, like in Bengal and Orissa. You have to have it on that day. Other parts of India, they can have it different days because they don't have the tradition of Rath Yatra that's connected with Jagannath Puri. So they do their Rath Yatra in different ways. In other states, South India, Western India, Delhi, Bombay, Madras, Bangalore. But in Calcutta and in Orissa, you have to do it on the same day as Jagannath. Otherwise, people don't understand. And that's a public holiday also in those two states. Calcutta Rath Yatra is the biggest festival right now in the world. About 1 to 2 million people come. In terms of viewers, Rath Yatra in New Orleans has come up. Of course, people go to the Rath Yatra in New Orleans, not as a Rath Yatra, but to go to the New Orleans Mardi Gras parade, and we're part of it. So we're capping. I think that's in the West is a good technique, is to join along with existing festivals, where the Calcutta Rath Yatra is its own unique festival. People come there to see the Calcutta ISKCON Rath Yatra. They crowd the streets, are packed with people to see specifically Jagannath. But like in South America, they do have the city fairs and things like that. And now, in many, just like in New Orleans, we did the Rath Yatra at other times, we'd only get 1 or 2 thousand people, our friends, and maybe 10,000 people be on the street, passerbys they would see. So when we had millions of people on the street for Mardi Gras, I suggested why not participate in that.
as we did for the first time last year, and then the people are in a very good mood. In other words, people are in a festive mood during the festivals. It's hard to, like in India anyway, people have the tradition of Jagannath Rath Yatra, and in Calcutta there wasn't a big Rath Yatra. Everyone would go to Puri. So we introduced a big Rath Yatra in Calcutta, which wasn't possible before because you couldn't take a big Rath in Calcutta because there's so many wires from trams, electric wires. We had the convertible Raths that go up and down, so we could introduce that type of Rath Yatra in a big city, where hitherto it had, where before it was impossible. So the people have a desire to see Jagannath, and our Rath Yatra has become very popular, so everyone comes there to see Lord Jagannath. Sometimes the cheap trains are half empty to Puri now. They don't even bother to go to Puri. They want to see the Rath Yatra in Calcutta. But they had the mood there of a festival, and they want to see Jagannath and Jagannath Rath Yatra day. So now they, instead of going somewhere else, they stay in Calcutta and see the Calcutta Rath. Where in America, during New Orleans, they want to participate in Mardi Gras. In Hawaii, they have the Aloha Parade or something. So we participate in that. In Australia, they participate in the Moomba Parade. And people appreciate that we're participating in their festival. At the same time, it gives us an opportunity to present Krishna consciousness. So until such a time as there are so many people who are actually Krishna conscious in their houses and that we have our own festival. Or unless you find like in Los Angeles, they have a festival on Venice Beach. So the people like the Hare Krishna Rath Yatra there. But they go to the beach and they also go to the festival, and it's a kind of combined thing. So that's, a lot of people go to the Rath Yatra there. At least they get off the beach and come and see Jagannath come by. They walk 100 yards, come over. But in the future, we'll have festivals. Just like now in Panihati, we have our Chiradoi festival. Maybe 500,000 people come, maybe 500 or more people come. So that things like festival will grow. So you can get huge crowds of people. In the future, there'll be festivals in North America where it'll be totally devotionally oriented and they'll have hundreds of thousands of people. But at the present time, the preaching is not that developed. So if we participate in existing festivals, then. So from that point of view, anyway, however you analyze it, a lot of people see Lord Jagannath in Mardi Gras parade, so they get the credit for that. Somehow or another, people are seeing Jagannath. And the amazing thing of the Mardi Gras is that they have the tradition of getting beads and things thrown to them. So everybody says, you know, throw me something, mister, whatever. So when they see the Hare Krishna, they all raise their hands, Hare Krishna. So actually Jagannath's there and they're all raising their hand. They want a bead or something that he thrown to them, you know. So they're all raising them, they're all Hare Krishna, yelling Hare Krishna, what do you got? Throw me something. So I think you couldn't expect that anywhere else. You know, you might have prayed or anything that people raise their hands and say Hare Krishna. I mean somehow or another, but they're getting a lot of mercy, you know. Or even if you ask people, raise your hand to Krishna and say Hare Krishna, it's very difficult maybe. But just because of the whole mood and that for everyone, they're just going, so the devotees are chanting on the cars and have their hands raised. So then the other people, they say, you know, they raise their hand, Hare Krishna. So this year, apparently, we have Jagannath beads and Subhadra and Baladev beads. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Good Jaya.